This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Bob Archer. Cops still looking for an armed bank robber in Orange County, and now a landfill is suspected of being the cause of a cluster of cancer cases. But first, it was 1 year ago today that four Pepperdine students were killed on PCH in Malibu. They were hit as they stood on the side of the road by car going more than 100 miles an hour. That driver was arrested, charged with murder and manslaughter. He's currently out on bail. The families of the students are suing the state, the county, and the city of Malibu, claiming that they all knew how dangerous PCH is, but didn't do anything to make it safer. The city of Malibu holding a candlelight vigil tonight at the Ghost Tires Memorial on PCH at Webb Way at 6:30 to remember all those who have died along the highway. Our Pete Demetrio is going to be there. And on Sunday, there will be a fundraiser at Alumni Park at Pepperdine from 11:30 to 2:30 to benefit the Emily Shane Foundation. An armed bank robber still on the loose in South Orange County. A suspect hit the Chase Bank on Portola Parkway and Foothill Ranch earlier today. Apparently fired a shot near the foot of a teller, but missed. Made off with about $31,000. A San Fernando Valley woman who drowned her three small children in a bathtub was insane when she killed them. And that's according to a judge's ruling today. Emily Valdez reports.
Liliana Carrillo drowned her infant daughter, her 2-year-old son, and 3-year-old daughter in the bathtub of a relative's Reseda apartment in 2021. During a jailhouse interview with KGET shortly after she was arrested, we get a glimpse into her state of mind.
I wish my kids were alive, yes. Do I wish that I didn't have to do that? Yes. But I prefer them not being tortured and abused on a regular basis for the rest of their life.
Carrillo believes she and her children were being groomed to be part of a child sex trafficking ring and says she killed her children to protect them.
I did it as softly, or I don't know how to explain it, but I hugged them and I kissed them and I was apologizing the whole time. I love my kids.
She withdrew her guilty plea and pled not guilty by reason of insanity. The judge accepted the plea after reviewing reports from three doctors. They will decide where she will be placed during a November hearing.
An LA County supervisor and the public health director asking for help to investigate claims that the Chiquita Canyon landfill in Castaic has caused a cluster of cancer cases. Residents say they've been sick from the pollution and toxic odors. They are suffering from headaches, burning eyes, rashes, and nausea. We talked about the move to bring in USC cancer experts with Supervisor Catherine Barger. She tells us a previous health report ruled out toxic chemicals having a severe impact.
The elevation of the compound of benzene and carbon tetrachloride obviously are of concerns. They felt that it didn't reach the high amount that would be impact to health, but we want to look at everything and not discount anything being said in the community. So that's why we actually went to the Keck School of Medicine, who operates this program, to ask them to take a look at the clusters and see if there's anything going on.
She says shutting down the entire landfill would not help, as the toxic fumes come from an area that's not been used for dumping for years. An arrest warrant has been issued for a former LAPD officer who shot and killed an unarmed homeless man in Venice Beach in 2015. This is according to reporting from the LA Times. That's a reversal of a decision not to file charges in the case. That was at a time when then DA Jackie Lacey was being criticized for being lenient on police shootings. That led to a lot of controversy at the time. It was one of the shootings that DA George Gascon said he was going to review. Officer Clifford Proctor shot Brennan Glenn twice in the back after a dispute with a bar's bouncer near the Venice Speedway. Two law enforcement officers told the LA Times about the arrest warrant. They haven't said why it was issued, but others say it does involve that homeless shooting. A former Canadian Olympian snowboarder is on the run after being named the ringleader of a drug empire that used LA as its hub.
Instead of using the privileges that come with being an Olympic athlete to do good for people, he did the opposite. He chose to become a major drug trafficker, and he chose to become a killer.
Local, federal, and Canadian authorities announced charges today against Ryan Wedding and 15 others. Karen Adams reports.
Authorities say for 13 years, Wedding and his crew moved on average 60 tons of coke a year through the U.S. and Canada using long-haul trucks and L.A. for their stash houses.
These individuals ran what we call the Wedding Criminal Enterprise. This criminal enterprise was extremely prolific and ruthless.
U.S. Attorney Martina Estrada says they used contract killers to murder at least four people in Canada, two earlier this year.
Clark and another co-defendant ordered the murder of another individual in Ontario, Canada. This person was standing on his driveway when he was shot in the head. In May of this year, Wedding and Clark ordered the murder of another victim over drug debt. This person was murdered in his car when he was sitting in the driveway of his own home when he was shot. All of these victims were intentionally shot execution style so that their loved ones could see them murdered.
Estrada says two victims, a couple, were innocent. This isn't Wedding's first run-in with the law. He was convicted of drug trafficking years ago, but once released, Estrada says he went right back to it, this time staying in Mexico to run his operation. That's where he's believed to be now, being protected by the cartels. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Israel kills Hamas' top leader, but will it bring us any closer to peace in the Middle East? We will talk to an expert. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review.
Campaign 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Been a lot of talk lately about black men showing lackluster support for Kamala Harris. That talk intensifying after former President Obama called on African American men to rally behind her. Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero got into the issue on Countdown 2024 with political analyst Christopher Toler, who directs the Black Voter Project at Cal State Sacramento.
Do you think that what Kamala Harris has been doing in going into these different places where she's doing these interviews, trying to reach that particular segment of the voting public, the young black men, that's going to help maybe sway more of them in her direction?
I think that it could absolutely help, and it's long overdue. As we know, black voters are the Democrats' strongest voting bloc, the most loyal voting bloc for the party. And so it's long overdue, as I said, for Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party to have an agenda for black voters, for black men, and for black women. This is something that the party should be doing year in and year out because of the strong support that they receive from the black community. I think I'm more concerned about actually getting people off of their couch and to the polls than really figuring out who they're going to vote for. We already know that over 8 out of 10 black voters will support Harris. And so if the Harris campaign really wants to change the margins and flip some of these swing states, they need to work on getting as many people to the polls as possible, rather than trying to focus in on actually turning one voter against them or for them when it's all said and done.
Is there something about Trump that would attract a black voter, whether it's male or female, and what would that be?
Well, for the black voters who support Trump, in the data I've collected, there's really a couple types of categories, right? You absolutely have the Republican, the black Republican, the conservative who's going to vote for a Republican candidate, no matter who that is, Trump or otherwise. But you also have another corner of the black community, particularly among black men, who are sort of unlikely voters or low propensity voters that might express some support for Trump based on what they see as strength as a leader, things such as business acumen. There's also been talks of the young black men really liking the effect of the stimulus check, even though there's a lot of misnomers as to how that check materialized and who was really behind the stimulus checks during COVID. But these are some of the reasons. And then, as we mentioned, you absolutely can't rule out sexism and misogyny, even though we can't say for certain how much that actually comes into play.
You know, you were talking about getting black voters actually up off the couch and out to vote. Certainly when President Obama was elected, both times, the black vote was tantamount, I believe, to getting him into office both times, just due to the historical nature of his presidency. Isn't Harris's potential presidency equally as historic? And do you think that is enough to get people out voting?
Although I believe her presidency is equally as historic, research suggests that there is less a sense of empowerment once the glass ceiling, if you will, has already been broken. And so over the years, scholars have looked at what it takes to get into office for black candidates. And that first black candidate usually garners historical amounts of black support that following candidates can't seem to muster.
Countdown 2024 airs on KNX at 2:30 weekday afternoons and weeknights at 8. It's also available on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Plus. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show. Southern California Edison considering shutting off power to parts of Malibu and other areas when those Santa Ana winds return tonight. More than 130,000 customers might be impacted by the public safety power shutoffs if they happen. The goal is to reduce wildfire risk in case the winds knock down power lines. Santa Ana is going to peak tomorrow through early Saturday before they go away. National Weather Service meteorologist Alex Tardy calls this a moderate Santa Ana event. He also explains why the region's getting its first noticeable Santa Ana wind event this late.
The summer didn't want to give up. We had a dry summer, limited monsoon thunderstorms, and a long summer. So that summer pattern is not conducive to Santa Ana winds. And that's why it's taken so long. We finally have some cold air moving into the Great Basin, which allows us to get these offshore flow Santa Ana wind events.
And Tardy says that cold air in the Great Basin of Utah and Nevada forms the Santa Ana winds, which then warm up when they hit Southern California. The mastermind behind the October 7th attacks on Israel has been killed. What does that mean for Israel's war with Hamas? Coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues.
The Israel-Hamas War. KNX connects you to the latest.
Israel confirming today its troops have killed the leader of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar.
The butcher of Gaza, as he was known not only by Israelis, he was given that name by Palestinians themselves, the butcher of Gaza, finally met justice.
As Israeli Defense Force spokesperson Major Doron Spielman talking with us earlier, Sinwar was considered the mastermind of the October 7th attacks. And to consider the impact of his killing on the war that's been going on for a year, we're joined live by Middle East expert Ben Rad. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Some political leaders saying this might be opening the way to a ceasefire and a hostage release. Is that likely here?
Well, that depends on who is taking control of Hamas now, if they know where the remaining hostages are, because that seems to be the main sticking point from the Israeli side, and whether they are also willing to abandon command and control of what's left of Gaza.
And you bring up an interesting point. Isn't it simply a fact that they'll just put a new person in charge and then we'll be right back at square one?
Well, in some ways, that seems like it would be the case, but Yahya Sinwar was a singularly unique figure. He was not just the political and military leader of Hamas, but he was also the day-to-day operational commander. So unlike, let's say, Osama bin Laden, who in his last months and years was really more of a symbolic leader for al-Qaeda with the U.S. war against al-Qaeda, Sinwar played a much more crucial day-to-day, even I'd say hour-to-hour role in the fighting, in the negotiation process. Nothing could happen without going through him, which is what also made negotiations so difficult.
You know, a lot of people in Israel are very tired of the war. They want an end to it. They're protesting the government of Benjamin Netanyahu. But one imagines is there's also a lot of Palestinians who are a bit tired of this war, too, with all the destruction going on in Gaza. With this guy out of the way, is that going to help or hurt recruiting for Hamas? Will that turn him into some kind of martyr?
Well, that's also a great question as well. The IDF has released drone footage of Sinwar's last few minutes, and it really demonstrated that he put up a fight little up until the very last moment. And whether or not that's perceived as an act of martyrdom, a heroic sort of last stand, or whether it shows how sort of pathetic and sad his plight was, really is going to be up to the viewers themselves. But beyond that, the opportunity is there, and it demonstrates to Hamas that there is no end game for them that is achievable. And for the Israelis as well, if they want to see an end to this, there has to be a political, not military solution. So hopefully this situation, this news of Sinwar's death, brings about that opportunity for both sides.
And very quickly here, is this going to have any impact on the fighting with Hezbollah in Lebanon?
That seems to be a separate tract. Israel is engaged in that conflict more as a way to combat the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is really the force behind all of the instability and unrest. And so long as Iran maintains and remains a threat to Israel and to the region, I believe that Israel will continue its operations with Hezbollah separate from what took place in Gaza.
Middle East expert Ben Rad, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's your Nonstop News at 5 for Thursday, October 17th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.